Having a tenant move out is rarely a fun or good occurrence, but being a landlord isn't all about fun and games. Tenants move out, and there are expenses involved for both landlords and tenants. The tenant has moving costs, and the landlord has make-ready costs. The cost to get the property back into move-in condition for a new tenant. In this podcast, we'll discuss how many days it should take you to complete a make-ready, how to plan ahead, and what it takes to be extremely efficient so that you do not lose rental revenue on an empty unit, and why you should be able to turn a unit in under 3 days. Stay tuned, and we'll get started in just a minute. Hi everybody, my name is Chris, and I want to thank you for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. If you want to be a more informed, better educated, and successful landlord, then stay tuned. With over a decade of property management experience, we bring you short and sweet, bite-sized pieces of incredibly valuable property management tidbits in 15 minutes or less. So jumping right in, we try to keep these podcasts under 15 minutes because we know you have a busy schedule, and so we just try to drop a lot of value right up front as quickly as possible. This one is going to be loaded with all kinds of information and how you can streamline the process of your make-readies. So I hope you're paying attention. Some of this you may already know, and hopefully you are already doing a lot of these things. This comes from my personal experience and how I was able to consistently turn make-readies in under 3 days. It didn't matter the size of the unit. It could have been a studio at 400 or 500 square feet, or it could have been a 3 or 4 bedroom apartment, or even a house at 1,200, 1,500 square feet. It didn't really matter. There was a system in place, and our team knew all of the pieces of that puzzle. And when it came time to execute a make ready, everybody was ready, and all the pieces were in place, and it was executed smoothly. So I'm hoping to be able to help you out a little bit here and speed up your make ready process and help you so that you can continue to earn more revenue on your property and lose less days with a vacant unit that's not generating any rental revenue. So you want to get the old tenant out and you want to get the new tenant in. That's the entire goal of a make ready, and to have the unit ready for the new move in. So you also want to have good first impressions. So you don't want to not do it well. You want to do it well so that you also have that good first impression with the new tenant, because as we all know, first impressions and the move in experience are one of the most important and key components to having a long-term tenant. A lot of studies have been done on the move-in process, and if you have a really bad negative move-in experience with a tenant, the chances of them staying around for a renewal or a second renewal are slim to none. And so it's important that you pull this first part off correctly. So without further ado, we'll jump in. The number one thing is, and we talked about this in our previous two podcasts prior to this one, three key metrics: the leasing information you should know, which is the last one we did, and then the proven marketing process you need to prevent landlord nightmares. That was the one just before, so that was 2 weeks ago. You want to check out those two podcasts because you want to get a commitment from the tenant early on so that you know if they're renewing or not. That's the number one thing you want to do. Get a commitment from the tenant early on so that you know if they're renewing or not. And I'm talking about, I used to be able to tell if a tenant was going to move out as far as 6 months in advance, sometimes even 8 months in advance. So if a tenant signed a 12-month lease, I usually knew by their 4th month in if they were going to be renewing or not, and I got that commitment from them. And so those podcasts, I talk a little bit about how I was able to go about doing that by creating a sense of urgency and a fear of loss to get an early commitment on the tenant's renewal, or getting a commitment if they were going to give us a notice to vacate. Because a lot of times, let's be honest, people already know their 4th month in, like I just talked about in the intro of this podcast. That move-in experience is going to determine whether or not your tenant is really going to stick around or not. And that first impression is going to have a huge piece in that decision-making process. And so usually by the 4th month, the tenant already knows if they're going to be renewing their lease or not. They're already going to, and even if it's not tied to the move-in experience, they're already going to know if the location works for them. Maybe they thought it was going to be a good location. It's not. Maybe their job moved. Maybe they found a new job. Maybe the commute is a little bit longer than what they thought it was going to be. And so they're already like, no, I can't continue to do this commute for another year after this. I'll finish out this lease. And then next lease, I'm going to find a place closer to my job or on a different bus line or metro line or whatever it may be, or a different neighborhood. Maybe they thought that they were going to enjoy living in that neighborhood, but then come to find out their favorite coffee shop shut down, and or maybe it moved across the neighbor, across the city, or whatever it may be. So you never know what the reasons are, but usually by halfway through the lease at the latest, a tenant already knows if they're going to be renewing or not. And so you can get that early commitment, and that's important. So listen to those last two podcasts we went over to get a lot of that information. Number two, market the rental early as soon as you know that the current tenant is leaving the rental. I do not care if it is 6 months, 8 months, 12 months. It does not matter. You can start marketing your rental, and you should start marketing your rental as soon as you know that the tenant is leaving the rental and they've given you their official notice to vacate. You should be marketing your rental. Why? Because you want to get commitment from somebody else that they're going to be moving in. A lot of people look for a new rental as far as 6-8 months out from them moving. In fact, your tenant for 6 months into their lease may already be searching for a new rental in a new neighborhood. They might not be doing tours just yet, but they are certainly looking around and keeping their eye open for new rental opportunities. And so you can capitalize on that for someone looking for a new place once you have that commitment from your tenant, and you should be doing that. I have had leases as far as a year out prior to the move-in date. And you may say, well, that's crazy. That's too far out. Not really. It's not. In fact, I rarely had cancellations. I would say I had maybe 10% cancellations that far out. And once you have the lease signed, that is a legal commitment to that lease renewal or to that lease. So there are a few things you want to do as a part of this process, though. You need to make sure, A, like we just said, that the current tenant has given you a commitment to whether they're going to renew or not. Once they give you a official written notice to vacate, or you've given them one, which I have done many times, you want to make sure that the existing tenant is aware that you will be accepting tours and applications effective immediately, as soon as they have given you a notice to vacate or you've given them one. B, you want to make sure that the tenant is aware of the repercussions and penalties for failure to move out by the agreed upon date in the notice to vacate. What does that mean? That means that if the tenant gives you a notice to vacate and says that my lease ends on October 30th and I will be moving out on that date, that they understand they must be out on October 30th. And not just that, but C, they need to have a set time. You need to have a set time of day by which you expect to have the keys back in your possession. Now, you need to check with your local state or city, but here in Texas with our lease, we were able to demand to have the keys back by no later than noon on the day that the tenant moved out on whatever date was on the notice to vacate. So if they put, we're moving out on October 30th and we're not going to be renewing this lease, our terms of our lease said, okay, that's great. Sorry to see you go, but you will also need to turn in your keys by no later than noon on this day. If you fail to turn in keys at noon, then you are considered a holdover, and there are fees and penalties that apply, and we'll have to serve you a 3-day notice to vacate, and we're going to have to start an eviction process and blah, blah, blah. So you need to make sure that the tenant is aware of those requirements. So again, A, make sure the tenant knows that you're going to be touring and accepting applications on their rental property immediately. B, make sure the tenant is aware that there are repercussions and penalties for failure to move out by the agreed upon date in the notice to vacate. And C, have a set time of day by which you expect to have the keys back in your possession. And this is important because this ties into the next few points. So moving on to number three of this expedited make ready process. Number three is you want to do a pre-move out inspection. What do I mean by that? That means that before the tenant moves out, you want to have already walked the unit. So let's say the tenant is moving out on October 30th. You may do a pre-move out inspection as far as 10-15 days out from their move out. And that means that you schedule a time with the tenant and let the tenant know, you give them a notice and say, hey, we're going to be doing a pre-move out inspection of your rental, just so that we know what needs to be done in the rental after you move out. And the benefit to them is also it's going to expedite the refund of their deposit, because you're already going to have walked the unit and have a pretty good understanding of what the damages or lack thereof are going to be in the rental property. So the current tenant in most states and most cities is not required to be present. Some of them will tell you that they want to be there because obviously they still have their stuff in the rental and some people just aren't comfortable with that. That's fine. But as a landlord, it is your right to access your rental property. And so you want to just give them advance notice, especially as a courtesy. And of course, if it's required by law in your area, and let them know that you're going to be doing a pre-move-out inspection. And then the second part of that process is you want to inspect the rental unit and look for any damages, flooring issues, HVAC, plumbing, etc. You basically want to have a pre-move-out inspection checklist that you use as a standard in all of your pre-move-out inspections. And you want to go through and create a maintenance checklist of what will need to be done to get the rental back into move-in condition. And so you should have a maintenance checklist that's a standard checklist that you use for all of your make readies. Once you have that, you know you already have all of the key pieces, the key elements that you're going to need to make sure that that turn is as fast as can possibly be. But you still have another step that you have to take to make sure that you put the pieces in place to make sure that this engine runs smoothly. So moving on to number four. Once you have that information, you should immediately start contacting your service providers or your maintenance team, whoever you use for your make readies. And if you have to use a third party for any type of stuff, like we would use a third party usually for bigger things like installing or replacing flooring, for buying appliances, that type of thing, we would use typically have to use somebody else. We wouldn't send our maintenance team to go to the store to buy appliances. We would just pay for them in advance and have them delivered. Usually they were delivered within 1 to 2 business days from the places we ordered them from. Flooring, we would usually use a third-party contractor. We would call them, make sure that they had availability in their schedule. If not, we always had a backup or two as well to make sure that we could go to somebody else if they couldn't fit our timeline. Because again, remember, this is all about rental revenue. It's all about reducing the number of vacant days for a rental so that you're not losing money on your rental properties. A lot of landlords take 8, 9, 10, sometimes even longer days to flip a rental unit from the time that the current tenant moves out to the time the new tenant moves in, or from the time that it's even just ready or available to tour. And that's completely unacceptable in terms of rental revenue, because you are literally losing 10 days out of 365 days. You are now limiting yourself to 355 or less days for rental revenue for your property. And that is a lot of money in the long term of things. So you want to contact your service providers and your maintenance team to make sure that they all have the necessary materials in place. They have the time on their schedule to get to work the minute the tenant turns in keys. So the first step of this process is you want to get any estimates for repairs or work ahead of time. So you want to have your maintenance guys go through and give you an estimate of cost for what it's going to take and the material list that they need. And you want to make sure that you have all of that stuff in stock. If you don't, you need to make sure that it is purchased prior to the date that the tenant is moving out. The second step of that process is there should not be any delay between when the tenant returns the keys to the minute that the maintenance crew is in the rental beginning work. And what do I mean by that? This goes back to having that set time that the tenant is expected to turn in keys. If the tenant is supposed to be turning in keys at noon, you know that you will have those keys in front of you in your possession at noon on October 30th. And your team should be ready to rock and roll at 12:01 in the afternoon on October 30th, not the next day. This is why you did the pre-walkout inspection. You already know what to expect. Now, you're still going to walk it when the tenant turns in the keys. You're still going to go make sure nothing changed from the time that you walked it 10 days earlier and make sure you didn't miss anything because a couch was hiding a huge hole in the wall or something crazy like that. How often does that happen? Sometimes, but it's not going to be a regular occurrence. You're already going to have a pretty solid understanding of what was needed to be done, and you're already going to have all the key pieces in place to get that stuff addressed. But 12:01, you get those keys in your possession, your maintenance team is ready to rock and roll, and you're walking into the unit with them to go and do that inspection, that last inspection after the tenant has actually moved out. Now, the day before and 2 days before, you should have already been calling your tenant to remind them that, hey, you need to turn in keys by noon. Today is the 28th, 2 days is the 30th. We have already have contractors lined up to get this unit ready to go. And so we need to make sure that you have those keys in by noon. This is just a friendly reminder. If you have any issues with getting keys in by noon and you're not going to be able to make that deadline, please let me know now because I may have to reschedule things. And so it's putting that pressure on the tenant to make sure that they're not going to be affecting you and your schedule, and they understand, again, the importance of that happening. I would also send out a letter oftentimes a week, sometimes even a week and a half in advance. I might have even sent a sequence of letters, depending on the property, to the tenant to remind them, hey, your scheduled move out is October 30th. We need the keys on this date, this time, blah, blah, blah. So I usually had 3 to 4 points of contact with the tenant leading up to the date. So they really understood that this was a very important deadline, that they needed to get keys in. And there was no excuse if it came to October 30th at 12 o'clock in the afternoon and they did not have keys in my hands at that time. They did not have an excuse because I had notified them those 2 weeks leading up to it at least 3 to 4 times. And so this is just part of stressing to the tenant the importance of that deadline for you and for them. The other thing, the other key part of this process for number 4 is that you need to have a final clean scheduled before the maintenance crew is ever done. This can be scheduled well beforehand once you have a system in place and you're executing it flawlessly. So once you have all of these things that I'm talking about in place, you have this system in place and you've done it a couple of times, you will know how, what date or what time you can schedule to have a cleaning crew, or if you do the cleaning yourself, whatever it is, you should know when that unit could be cleaned. So if it's taking your team 2 days, 3 days based on the damages in the rental and the things they have to do to get it ready, sometimes it's not even a day. Sometimes it's just a few hours because the tenant didn't do anything in the rental and it's in great condition and all you need to do is shampoo the carpet or whatever. And so you need to schedule this stuff in advance, including the final cleaning crew to clean the rental so that the unit is sparkling and ready for being marketed, ready for new tours or ready for that new tenant. Hopefully at this point you've already had a new tenant. And we do again talk about that in some of the prior podcasts, including the last 2 podcasts, on how to make sure that you already have a new tenant lined up for your rental before the current tenant even ever moves out. And that's really why you're expediting this process, because you want that new tenant to move in as quickly as possible, as soon as that current tenant moves out. Moving on, number 5, the minute the tenant moves out, a lockbox with the key should be placed on the door or somewhere at the property to allow maintenance personnel, contractors, real estate, or leasing agents to have access to the property so that they're not calling you for access. There is nothing worse than having all this stuff lined up and somebody forgets their keys, or somebody doesn't have a key or access to the property, and you have to go and drive and meet them there to give them access to the rental. That's a huge no-no. It's a huge time suck. And so you want to have a lockbox of some type placed at the rental property the minute the tenant moves out. You can't do it before because you don't want somebody being able to get access to the rental while the tenant is in there, unless it's like a official real estate lockbox, and that's in your agreement that the rental can be shown by licensed real estate agents if that's allowed in your area. In mine it was. That's another part of what we used to do. But if your tenant is moved out, and you should have a lockbox with a key ready to rock and roll already. You should have a standard code that you already have in place. You should already have provided that code to any of the contractors who need to be getting access to the rental. And they should already not have to call you at all during this entire process. Everything should work smoothly. Your maintenance guy should have the access to the lockbox. And then any leasing agents, if you have not already leased out the rental prior to this process taking place, you want to get tours into that rental as quickly as possible. And if you're not using leasing agents, then you definitely want to make sure that you're doing that. If depending on your state and your city, you may have to be connected to a broker to pay commissions to leasing agents. But if you're not using them, you absolutely should be using real estate agents and apartment locators or rental locators, because these people are able to get people into your rental quickly and efficiently. And if you're not taking advantage of them in your rental market, you absolutely should be, because you could increase the pace or the speed at which your rental property is rented by using a real estate agent or rental locator. So you want to make sure these people have access. And it's extremely important, especially because of COVID-19. You want to limit the amount of in-person contact for all parties involved, whether it's contractors, your maintenance team, suppliers, delivery trucks, people delivering appliances, real estate agents getting access. You want to eliminate or at least reduce the amount of in-person contact for all parties involved and just streamline the process. And so that lockbox is a key part of making that happen smoothly. Moving on, number six, schedule a final inspection. You should have, like I said at the beginning, you should have a preset checklist that you follow for every move out, for every maintenance process, and then you should have a preset checklist that you follow for a final inspection. This should be a form that you already have printed out, ready to go. You should have dozens of them printed out for however many rentals you have, if you have one or if you have 20. The more you have, the more you should have printed out and already ready to go in a folder somewhere. All you got to do is grab it on your way out the door and go walk the unit and use that checklist. You may have done it 1,000 times, but I have seen people, including myself, walk a rental unit without a final inspection checklist, and you are bound to forget something. It does not matter how long you've been doing this. It's important to have that checklist and go through and check every little thing. Lights, appliances, flooring, anything new that was installed to make sure it was installed correctly before you pay those net 30 invoices. HVAC, turn it on. Appliances, turn them on. Lights, turn them on. Fans, turn them on. Check to make sure that it was cleaned properly. Make sure the windows are clean. Make sure there's not smudges on them. Make sure the fridge was cleaned out. Make sure it wasn't turned off and it doesn't stink. All that kind of stuff is very important because, again, all these things come back to that move-in experience or that first impression at your rental property, whether it's the person moving in or it's that person touring your rental property. That first impression is going to make or break that relationship with you between the tenant and the landlord. And so this is an extremely important step, is that final inspection. Last part of this entire process is, now if the tenant is already lined up to move into the property, now is when you change the locks during this final inspection so that the rental is ready to go for the new tenant. You take the lockbox off. Nobody else has access to that rental until the day that tenant moves in. And just a word of advice, if your tenant is not moving in that day that you do the final inspection, I would also plan on walking it again a few hours before the tenant moves in, if it's a day or a week later, whatever it is. Hopefully it's not that long. But I would recommend walking it usually a few hours prior to the tenant moving in, because I cannot tell you how many times I have had a tenant lined up to move in. I did a final inspection. Everything was fantastic. And then I go to walk the unit and somebody had broken into it because they knew it was vacant, or the AC system had frozen up and leaked into somewhere in the rental, or one of the appliances had died, or the things just go on and on. Everything that could possibly go wrong will probably go wrong. The more amount of time there is between the time that you do the final inspection and the time that the tenant moves in. So I always recommend walking the unit just a few hours prior to the new tenant moving in, just to make sure nothing's changed and you're good to go and they're good to go. Again, first impressions. And that's a wrap. That wraps up the majority of the process that I have personally used for make readies. I could execute make readies in 2 or 3 business days, no less. And it doesn't matter on the size of the rental. Once you get this system in place and once you have all of the key components ready to rock and roll, everybody's on the same page, you should be able to do make readies in lightning fast fashion so that you can reduce the amount of vacancy and increase the amount of revenue for your rental property. So as always, thanks for taking your time to listen to this podcast. I know that you have an extremely busy schedule, so I'm genuinely appreciative of you taking the time to listen to it. I hope that you found value in the time that you've spent listening to it. So if you've found value, please share this with anybody that you know that may benefit from it. And you can also check out more information like this at tenantcloud.com/blog, or you can listen to our podcasts on any podcast platform such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or even on the Tenant Cloud YouTube channel, where you'll find full system demos, webinars, and a lot of other media content from Tenant Cloud. Thanks again for listening, and we'll look forward to talking with you next time.